Hello, listeners. Here we are at episode 5 of Aprender Inglés con Resi Craig. And beside me I have Craig. How's it going?
Hi, Reza. Good to be here. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Good.
Okay, shall we get cracking?
Why not?
A bit of grammar, do you think, to start off?
Oh, yes. How exciting.
Some grammar.
Let's have fun and start with some grammar.
Okay, well, we've looked at the past simple. I say we've looked at it. I was actually using a present perfect verb. I said we have looked at it because I didn't say when. Sometime in the past, but it's relevant now. We've looked at, hemos visto, the present simple. We've also looked at the present perfect. Hemos visto también el pretérito perfecto. Separately. Now let's revise and mix them up a bit and show that they often appear together in a conversation.
It's quite confusing for Spanish speakers, isn't it? They often confuse the past simple with present perfect.
Yeah, because very often a conversation will start with one, say the present perfect, and then lead on to another. I tell you what, let's have a conversation and see if that doesn't happen. Okay, Craig, you told me you've been to Bilbao, is that right?
I have.
Okay, present perfect. Craig, I said, you've been to Bilbao? He said, I have.
Because I'm speaking about my life. My life hasn't finished. I'm still alive. Mm-hmm. Estoy vivo. No estoy muerto. So I use the present perfect to speak about my life experience from when I was born until now. I have been to Bilbao.
From the past up to now. And we didn't specify the time.
We didn't say when. Are you going to ask me when?
Exactly. So now I want to know more information. Craig, when did you go to Bilbao?
I went 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay. So now we're on to the past simple. In the same conversation, we started off with the present perfect, but now it's the past simple because I asked, when did you go? ¿Cuándo fuiste? I'm asking specifically about that visit to Bilbao. So that was a particular time in the past, which is over. That visit is over. That's why I've had to move on to the past simple.
And I used the word, the time expression, ago, and ago goes together with past simple. Mm-hmm. So I went 5 years ago, or I can say I went in 2008. Mm-hmm. Have you been to Cuba?
I have, and so have you, haven't you?
When did you go?
I went this year, in fact, a few months ago. I went in April.
April last year? This year?
No, April this year.
This year.
I went a few months ago. There's that word, ago again. It's in the past. April's finished. Past simple. When did you go?
Oh, God. I went about 6 or 7 years ago now. Yeah, about 6 or 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. Fantastic country, isn't it?
Yeah. So if you've been in Cuba, you must have smoked a good cigar.
I didn't because I don't smoke.
Wow. You've got to. When in Rome, they say, do as the Romans do.
When in Cuba. Yeah. Did you smoke a cigar?
Yeah, I did. You couldn't have done it better than me, Craig. I had my first Cuban cigar in in the tobacco growing area in the west of the island, surrounded by tobacco, and the farmer who made them by hand said, try this. And I had a natural homemade Cuban cigar. Wow, that was good.
Wonderful experience.
So we're using the past simple to talk about that experience because it was a specific experience in the past which is finished. So that was past simple. Let's get back to the present perfect. Craig, have you eaten anything at all today?
I've had breakfast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When did you have breakfast?
About 8:30.
Okay, so there you go again, listeners. Did you notice that we started with the present perfect? Have you eaten anything today? ¿Has comido algo hoy? Present perfect, because today hasn't finished yet. That's present perfect. And also, I didn't specify the time. But then when Craig told me that, yes, I have eaten something today, I said, when did you eat it? Because he's talking about a specific time, his breakfast. Breakfast is over. So that's why that's past simple.
And this is also very common in job interviews, I've noticed, Reza. When you go to a job interview, they'll first ask you a question about your experience, about your life. They'll say, have you ever worked for a multinational company? Yes, I have. And then the question becomes more specific about a time in the past. When did you work for this company? When did you leave? Have you ever lived in this city? Yes, I have. When did you live there? So they start talking about your life and then they'll focus on a particular point in the past, as you said.
So if anyone has to do a job interview in English, be ready for that. Starting in the present perfect for your general life experience. And then if they want to focus in on one particular experience, then switch to the past simple.
How long have you been living in Valencia?
I've been living in Valencia since 1998. What about you?
I've been living here since 1997. I came here in 97.
Did you notice Craig said he's been living here? That's present perfect continuous. We saw it last week. Continuous because he hasn't finished living here yet. It started in the past. It's continued up to now. And he's still living here now. He has been living here for a long time. But he said that he came in, what year was it, Craig?
97.
1997. That year's finished. We're in 2013 now. 1997 is finished, so it's got to be past simple. He came in 1997. Craig, perhaps not quite as important as a job interview, but as the listeners now know, you're a big Mickey Mouse fan. You've seen many episodes of Mickey Mouse in your time. Okay. What was your favourite?
I think my favourite Mickey Mouse episode was when... I can't remember one.
You can't remember one, Craig? Perhaps you've seen so many that you can't remember one. Maybe they were all special in a way.
I think they were all very, very good.
Okay.
Moving on to pronunciation, and this episode I'd like to focus on another problem for Spanish speakers, and that's in English the consonant clusters, which means los consonantes cuando vienen juntos. And it's quite difficult sometimes for Spanish speakers to pronounce two or three or more consonants when they're together with no vowels. For example, crisps, papas in Spanish, or chips in American English. Crisps, C-R-I-S-P-S.
That's a lot of consonants.
That's quite difficult, yeah. So if you're listening at home, just practice one or two times. Just say crisps, crisps. Another possible word that causes confusions, structure, the structure of a house, or structure, edificio, a structure in the street. S-T-R-E-T-C-H, stretch, which is a noun and a verb, to stretch, estirar, estirarse. And similar to stretch, just add E-R, stretcher, camilla. A stretcher can be difficult. And my students often have problems with hitchhiker. Because if you remember last week, the problem with the H sound, H, which is sometimes pronounced H by Spanish speakers. And also there are some consonants together in hitchhiker. Hitchhiker. So repeat that. Hitchhiker.
I've just thought of one, Craig. A group with a group of consonants together in a word. Mm-hmm. Crunch.
Crunch.
That's a good one, isn't it?
Crunchy. Crujiente.
Crujiente. Crunch. It even sounds like what it is. Crunch. The consonants seem to like all crunch up together in that word.
So do you think our listeners would have problems saying crunchy crisps?
Oh, I'd say so.
These crisps are really crunchy. Just say that at home. Crunchy crisps. Okay. Yeah, also, in the Beatles song, When I'm 64, there's a line that says, scrimp and save. And when I practiced this with my students last week, they had problems saying scrimp and save. To scrimp is to save very hard, to save very strictly. And in the song When I'm 64, you hear, every summer we can rent a cottage in the Isle of Wight if it's not too dear or too expensive. We shall scrimp and save. Grandchildren on your knee, Vera, Chuck and Dave. I'll put a link, un enlace, a esta canción a YouTube, donde que puedes escuchar esta canción y practicar las letras. Entonces, si vas a las notas de este episodio a mencioningles.libsyn.com, Libsyn, L-I-B-S-Y-N, that's mencioningles.libsyn.com, ahí puedes encontrar las notas de este episodio, enlaces a la gramática y también un enlace a la canción de los Beatles.
Craig, did you say in the lyrics of that Beatles song, the word scrimp, so it's a consonant cluster. Scrimp.
Scrimp is the consonant, is the consonant scrimp. Cluster.
I've just thought of another word which sounds similar to scrimp with a consonant cluster, but it's not the same.
Shrimp?
Shrimp.
Ah!
Shrimp.
Gamba.
Gamba.
Because in the first episode, we had to suck the head of the shrimp. Chupar la cabeza de la gamba. Moving on to phrasal verbs. Reza, what phrasal verb do you have this episode?
For today, we've got put off.
Put off.
Put off, yeah. Well, sorry to bore the listeners with my problems. I know I always tell them the same old story. But you know I have to have the electricity fixed in my house.
You mentioned, you said that a couple of episodes ago.
It's going to be a big job, I mean. I have to get the place rewired. Rewired. Van a cambiar el cableado y poner una nueva instalación.
Why do you have to do that?
It's old wiring and it's dangerous. If I don't get new, thicker wiring, there could be a fire. It's really dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to do it. But I admit, up to now, I've put it off. Put it off.
Posponer.
Posponer. Postpone in English. Posponer. I put it off. Because it will be very uncomfortable for me for a week or two. Nobody likes workmen in their house. So I put it off. Lo he pospuesto, I guess in Spanish, yeah?
I think so.
From the verb posponer.
Do you know what I've been putting off?
What?
Going to the optician. I need to get my eyes tested. I've been putting it off for months. I've been putting it off. I know I have to go, but I just haven't had time. Mm-hmm. I've been putting it off. And I've been putting off my flu jab. My inoculación de gripe.
Mm-hmm.
I have to do it now because it's getting cold. And the flu is round the corner. The flu is in the winter.
I've had mine.
Have you had yours?
Yeah, so you better do it quick or you'll get a flu.
Yeah, I have to stop putting it off and I have to do it.
Tell me, Craig, what are you doing for fallas? In case there are any listeners who haven't heard of fallas, they wouldn't be Valencian. Any listener who hasn't heard of fallas, it's the big Valencian festival where there's fireworks everywhere, street parties, music. It's full of people and there's a lot happening and it's incredibly noisy. And this happens in March in Valencia, Las Fallas. Now, what are you doing at fallas, Craig?
Do you know, I haven't thought about it yet, present perfect. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't have any plans. Now we're in October and Fias is in March. That's 6 months away.
Yeah.
So I really haven't thought about what are you doing?
Well, I tell you what I'm not doing. I'm not going to stay here and try to work because the Fias put me off. They put everybody off.
They distract you.
They distract you. In Valencia, you can't possibly work well during fires because the noise, the sounds, the light, the parties, everything, it's so intense that it puts you off.
Mm-hmm.
It puts you off. You cannot concentrate. So to put you off, hacer que pierdes tu concentración.
Can you work and listen to music at the same time?
It kind of puts me off. The music is very, very low. Very low, so I almost can't hear it.
But then don't have it on.
Yeah, I generally don't. If it's something important, I don't put on the music.
Right.
That's put on the music. Tocar música. Because that would put me off.
Yeah, it puts me off too.
Okay, Craig. Do you remember I told you how I totally failed to impress that very attractive girl? Remember I tried to get off with her?
Yeah, you tried to get off with her, and she didn't want to know, unfortunately.
She told me to get lost. I didn't impress her at all.
Well, she was attractive.
She was, wasn't she? But, you know, since then, I've just stayed at home alone. It's put me off trying to chat up girls. It's put me off. Me ha quitado las ganas. Mm-hmm. Me ha disuadido. Ya me ha desanimado. Mm-hmm. It's put me off. That's another meaning of put off.
Do you know something? I was in a restaurant last week. I went out to eat with some friends, and we'd ordered the food. And as we were waiting for the food to arrive, I saw a cockroach.
Oh God!
Walking along the bar.
Horrible.
On top of the bar.
Oh.
Cucaracha walking along the bar. Cockroach. And you know what? It really put me off the food.
I can't imagine.
It really put me off eating in that place.
Ooh. So there you go. Put off is today's phrasal verb.
Okay, moving on to our vocabulary corner. And this episode, I'd like to focus on the verb come, a very common irregular verb. And there are many expressions and words that go together with come, that collocate with come to make expressions. For example, to come as a surprise. It came as a surprise to me when I saw that our first episode of Aprender Inglés con Reze Craig had nearly 2,000 downloads.
Wow.
This month. 2,000 bajadas. So I'm very happy. It came as a wonderful surprise to me. You can also use the negative. It came as no surprise. So I can say it came as no surprise to me that this podcast is a success. Working with you, Reza, it came as no surprise that we are being successful. Another expression with come is to come as a relief. So that restaurant with the cockroach, I didn't pay. I didn't pay for the meal. So it was very, very cheap. It came as a relief to me that I didn't have to pay for dinner in that horrible restaurant. To come as a relief. Also, shock. What's shock in Spanish?
Shock is sorpresa, surprise.
Yeah, it came as a shock.
I thought of a better word. Susto is a better translation for shock.
It came susto. As a susto. It came as a shock. And you can put an adjective before shock to emphasize el susto and make the susto bigger. It came as a great shock to me. It came as a terrible shock. Or it came as a dreadful shock to me.
Like when you saw that cockroach.
Like when I saw that cockroach. It came as a dreadful shock to see a cockroach in a restaurant. And also you can have an adjective before the word. So it came as a big surprise. Una gran sorpresa. It came as a great surprise. Or it came as a complete surprise. Other expressions. To come to power. A person can come to power. A president or a prime minister of a country. Or a political party comes to power.
Can I just add in one?
Yeah.
But say something a bit silly. Say something a bit ridiculous that would surprise me.
And finally, a decision is something you can come to or arrive at. So if you make it, you can make a decision and come to a decision. For example, Reza, I have come to the decision that next month I'm going to Disneyland.
Craig.
To see Mickey Mouse. How would you explain come off it
come
in
off
Spanish?
It. Venga, vaya, venga, venga. when someone's making fun or saying something ridiculous, come off it. Venga,
estás tirando el pelo. You're pulling my leg. I'm pulling your leg. I'm not really
come off it.
Going to Disneyland. Reza, what's your top tip for this episode?
Okay, the tip for today is a way to help you revise or maybe even learn vocabulary by either photocopying or printing off a picture with plenty of objects in it. And then what you do is simply label the objects. For example...
What does label mean?
Ah, label.
Etiqueta.
Poner una etiqueta. Sí, o
poner nombre.
Poner nombre para todo, sí, darle un nombre. So you, indicar lo que es.
So you'd find like a street scene with lots of things in the street or exactly. a picture of a house or a bedroom right. or something.
Yeah, so it could be in a book, so photocopy that from a book. Or if it's from internet, print it off. Something with plenty of objects. So as Craig said, a street scene, you printed it off, and then you test yourself for vocabulary. What can you name in English? So maybe a street light or street lamp, that's farola. The pavement, that's acera.
Or sidewalk in American
sidewalk
English.
Sidewalk in American English. Curb. Perhaps you don't know that word. C-U-R-B. The curb is where the road where the cars go meets the pavement. That border is the curb.
I don't know that word in Spanish.
Me curb. Neither. But hopefully we've explained it well enough in English.
Yeah.
We're not Spanish experts. We'll admit that. So curb, the little bit where the street, the bit for the cars in the street meets the pavement, where there's a difference of level. One's a bit higher than the other. That is the curb. C-U-R-B. There you go. If you didn't know that word, if it wasn't revision, then you've just learned it. You could look it up in Spanish and then write the translation in English. It's a nice visual way to learn words. So when you go to look at those words again in the future, you see them instantly. You've got an arrow or something like that pointing to the curb and the word curb. So you don't need to look it up in Spanish. You can just think, that's curb.
That's a very useful tip. I remember when I was learning Spanish in the beginning, I took post-it notes, posits, little pieces of paper, and wrote words in Spanish on them, and I stuck them, pegar, I stuck them around the house, for example, escritorio, I put that on the desk, nevera, I put that on the fridge, espejo, I put that on the mirror. So every day I physically see the note, and then when I remember the word, I took off, removed the note.
That's another great idea. Yeah, I've done that myself, and that's brilliant to do at home. I'm not sure, though, what the council would think about you putting post-it stickers on their street lights and curbs. That's why this paper method of printing off or photocopying is good for things outside your house, which you can't put post-it notes on.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for that tip, Reza, and thank you, everybody, for listening to this podcast. So from me, it's goodbye.
Catch you later.
And we'll see you in the next episode. The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later. Licensed by Creative Commons under a BYNC license at ccmixter.org. Si quieres mandarnos un comentario sobre este podcast o una pregunta sobre la gramática, la pronunciación o el vocabulario de inglés, mándanos un email a mentionteachers@yahoo.es.